Hello and welcome back to the 10 Minutes of Safety podcast series for the safety manual. I'd like to continue on with the special excavation series. I kind of left off with the last podcast for the excavation series with the story of a takeaway of how an experience really changed my perspective of excavation safety and kind of sent me down this path of research and learning more and trying to be more professional about my excavation. But did it really change my perspective? Even after that event occurred, did I really let this event give me a reason to change myself down to my core? I don't know. I think it did. Well, I know it did, as well as the accumulation of stories and experiences that I allowed, to unfold in my career. But I still allowed poor choices to happen. Sometimes it's a mental break. I fall victim to the same thing that everybody else does. It's not going to happen to me. I think I can just run in there really quick and get it done. And this is kind of an example of an incident that I'm sharing now. So let me take you on another journey. I was early in my career back in Ohio. I was working for a customer whose name was Ollie Vestry. And this is a guy, he was super old back there and he was really set in his ways. Can't really change guys like this. And they have a perception of what they want to do and what they, I've been doing it this way for 40 years is sort of famous last words. And I remember all these stories just really clearly because of my personal involvement. It's not like I'm recanting a story that I saw or something I heard from somebody else. These are my own life stories, and they're really intense and sometimes potentially life-changing moments that occur, create flashbulb memories that are just not easily forgotten. So I remember myself as a self-employed person, and I knew how I had to establish myself and make sure I got a good, strong customer base. I'd only been working back in Ohio for probably a year and a half or so, and I was growing my customer base. So I really know the value of a repeat customer and want to make sure that the customer feels that they're number one and they're satisfied with my work, and that, I always sell myself as being the best at what I do because I have to believe in myself, because if I don't, nobody else will. I also understand that saying no doesn't pay the bills. Yes pays the bills. But if I get injured or killed, I'm not going to be able to spend any money, so it becomes a really moot discussion. Statistically speaking, according to the BLS, self-employed workers are twice as likely to have a fatality as of people who work for an employer. So I know this from my OSHA trainings, and I've done a lot of research on it. And it's because as a self-employed person, I was willing to take the risk. And I knew I was outside of OSHA's jurisdiction, and I would never hire anybody. I was never that brave. So I always was exempt from any sort of OSHA implications that I felt. So I was really self-regulating my actions. And I felt I could take acceptable risks, because whatever I deemed as necessary. I was a very arrogant business owner and felt that I was the final say. And I truly was. I was the final say for my own actions and for what I got myself into. So I rolled up on this job site and did my normal jokes and my banter and lightheartedness to try to assess the situation in kind of a casual way. And I looked at this trench and I was like, man, this thing isn't even close to right. It's 6.5 feet, it's 40 inches wide, it's type C soil, but it's just straight up and down trench edges. It's held in place by luck and just luck and sheer will of gravity's effects. But it's not right. I know it's not right. And I asked the guy, I say, hey, Ollie, can you like slope it back a little bit for me? It's looking a little tight up there. I don't got time for this. We got to get it. Can't you just get down there and get it done? I like, but you could just take a few scoops off of it, knock it back. And he's, just open it up a bit. And he's, I don't have time for that. I just need you to get down there. And when I was back here working, I was working for a company, RJ Allen, out here, and I felt really confident that I would be backed up by my leadership, and we were always trained and told not to go down in trenches and stuff. So I wasn't really worried about saying no. I was really hardcore about it. Matter of fact, I liked saying no, because I knew I would still get paid. Whether or not they got paid or not is irrelevant, but I know I was getting paid. But here I am as the owner, and I didn't want to not get paid. I didn't want to drive all the way out there for nothing and just not get paid. You know, it was an hour and a half travel or something like that. I don't remember the distance exactly, but I know it was a long ways away. So I evaluated the situation, and I knew better. But I deemed it to be an acceptable risk, and I denied the risk to myself. I don't want to get paid again. So it's part of my evaluation process is the eventual conversation that I end up having with myself. And I hope you know the kind of conversations I'm talking about. I hope I don't sound like a psychopath. But I think we all have voices telling us, should I do it? Should I not do it? And there's always sort of a yin and a yang, or good versus bad. And typically, I know what I should be doing, which is the right thing. And there's what I really want to do. And then I do it. I kind of evaluate it and think, okay, I'm gonna go for it. And then I do, and I proceed. And I'm a very definite person, and I define my own personal safety as how I proceed. The effectiveness of my personal involvement with my own safety program is what I do. And for sure, my personal experience demonstrates how my best friend or my worst enemy is, again, the person who shows up in the mirror. I know I'm referencing an idea again from an earlier story, but this is a really relevant situation to the story. So I've decided, I've evaluated, I've conversed with myself, and I decided to go down in the trench and get set up. And I tell myself all the things, I can do it, nothing's gonna happen, it's not gonna be a problem, I'm just gonna go down there and get it done. I'm a very decisive person. Once I make that decision, I just go. And I gotta let you know, I knew better. I knew I was taking a risk, and I knew it was an unacceptable risk, but I still went. I went down in the hole. Walked down this makeshift ramp, carrying my equipment down into the sandy trench, and I start my setup. I mark and measure for the center and set my anchor and install the awl thread and set the base on the of the core drill onto the manhole, the face of the manhole. I set my core drill, the stand that holds the drills in a horizontal position. I tighten it down, and I hope I'm kind of creating a visual of a 4-inch square piece of steel running parallel to the bottom of a trench about 2.5 feet up from the bottom. And let me assure you that once this base is set into position and gets bolted onto the manhole surface, it's pretty much a fixture. It's designed to stay in place while holding a 75-pound drill, 100, you know, a 10 or 40, 10 to 40-pound core drill bit with the concrete core inside of it when it's done, and the applied lateral force that I need to use to get the core drill to drill the hole through the concrete and cut through the wire mesh or rebar or whatever I encounter. So I'm down there, and now my drill stand is set. I'm leaning over the drill, and I'm getting ready to do the final action of assembly, and I'm getting the core drill, sliding it onto the stand when I hear Ollie and his helper yell, "Look out!" Which I appreciated, but where am I supposed to go? There's no place for me to go. I'm pinned. I'm trapped between everything. Have you ever been to the beach and you get like slammed by a giant wave? Well, I've been to the beach, and I've been slammed by giant waves, and this is exactly what this sand trench wall felt like hitting me. I felt like being hit by a gigantic wave, but I didn't get wet. And luckily for me, I was big enough and strong enough to, when I heard him yell, stand up, and while being hit by the trench wall, have enough force and strength and power to break through it. And it like broke around me like this giant wave of sand. And I was instantly covered. Up to my belt line was sand. My drill and equipment and everything were buried. Mad doesn't even begin to describe my emotional state. Livid or whatever, I don't know. What's beyond livid? Does anybody want to tell me? But here's the real question. Who was I angry with? I was angry with me. I was really mad at myself for breaking my own rules and exposing myself to a potentially fatal event. I will just tell you. Let me explain. Had I not been able to stand up and break through that collapsing sand wall, I would have almost certainly been pinned under the weight of the sand, with the stand of the drill pressing on my diaphragm, almost assuredly in a preventing me from breathing. It would have been a real problem. And I realized that. And as I wiggled out of my situation and self-rescued, this vast range of thoughts, emotions, and feelings went through me. And even now, I'm kind of reliving this experience. It causes me to reflect and underscore my resolve to share a compelling message and never hesitate to intervene as appropriate. How did I let this happen to me? How did it happen? I broke my own safety protocol. I knew better, but I still proceeded. So let me say for sure, I made a simple promise to myself, and that was never again will I put myself at risk like that. And I'll share some examples of this sentiment in the following podcasts. Be safe and have a great day. Thank you for your time.